33 years ago, I realized that I had not become the person that I thought I was going to be. Because my plan was always to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And on my 31st birthday, that dream died. Because I hadn't made it. And so I just said, okay, well, then I'll just change it a little. I'll be a millionaire by the time I'm 40. And that came and went. And then it was 50. Then it was 60. And now I'm starting to realize I think I'm just never going to get there. And some of that is just because of circumstances, you know, health stuff, and you had a couple of job startovers. Some of it might have been bad luck. You know, I didn't cause the financial mess in 2008. And, you know, who could have known that my investment in the Vietnamese dong wasn't going to pan out? You know, some of it might have been ignorance, because apparently everybody but me knew that my investment in the Vietnamese dong was not going to pan out. But the thing is, there's other people who have had tough situations and circumstances, and there's other people that have had bad luck, and there's other people that have made ignorant decisions that did become millionaires by the time they were 60 or 50 or 40 or 30 or 20. But I didn't get there. And it wasn't from lack of effort. Because I tried. I tried lots of things to make more or to save more or to invest better. You know, I would like read some book or I would watch a video or I'd hear somebody talk about how they did it. And I would kind of sort of try their plan. You know, lots of different times. I dabbled in a bunch of stuff. I was interested and I was motivated. And I think I was even able. But you know what I wasn't? I wasn't intentional. You know, with financial stuff, I just kind of like let things happen. You know, I didn't build an investment strategy and I didn't stick to a budget and I didn't commit to saving. I just, you know, I made money and I spent money and I just kind of hoped that it would just kind of happen on its own. And those behaviors and those habits, or those lack of behaviors and habits, formed my financial future. And now I'm old, and I can't help but wonder, you know, if we'd have been more intentional about our money, how different our lives might have been. Just imagine. We'd be hanging out with Elon and the boys, you know, and drinking nice stuff and floating on boats and going in helicopters and the jewelry and the drip. I mean, it would have been so, just that would have been awesome. But you know what? It's fine. Because I don't really fit in with the caviar crowd anyway, and I make enough money, and we're saving a lot better now, and I eat pretty much every single day, you know. We have a great house, we have cars that run, and my clothes are obviously like super bougie, so we're fine. We're fine, and I can honestly tell you that I can live with the fact that my lack of financial intentionality kept me from becoming what I wanted to be financially, because it's just money, and it's just stuff. But there's something that I want to be more than I want to be rich, and that is I want to be like Jesus. His kingdom is coming, yeah? And I want to be part of that. In fact, I want to be part of bringing it here. And I know that when Jesus talks in Matthew 5 about these people that are peacemakers, that are meek and pure in heart, and they hunger for justice. And I know when Paul is describing the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and he's talking about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, he's describing people who are like Jesus. He's describing people that are part of this new humanity who are one with the Father, who will not only live in his kingdom, but they'll be part of bringing it here. And I really, really want to be one of those people like Jesus. And this is really important to me. And I can't live with saying, oh, well, it just didn't happen. You know, it's too important. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel that too? I want to ask you something. Don't answer this out loud. As a Jesus follower, how many Jesus followers? Okay, so as Jesus followers, don't raise your hand. Do you ever feel like frustrated, like with how it's going? Like, do you ever feel like, you know, I'm not going to hell or something? It's not that. I want more than that. You know, I want to be like Jesus. And do you ever feel like, I just thought by now I would be more Christian-y than this? You know, I just thought by now I'd be less sinful than this. I'm still doing the same sins I did years ago. Do you ever feel like I'm disappointed, you know, in my prayer life or in serving other people or my understanding the Bible? It's just, I'm surprised it's not more, you know. I'm surprised it's not better or something. I thought by now, I would be so full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. I really thought by now I would be one with the Father, just like Jesus. Do you ever just feel that frustration? Do you ever look at a picture of Jesus and then look in the mirror and just like, ugh, right? This gap, right? This huge difference. Don't raise your hand, but if you ever feel like that, just kind of go like this. Yeah? And can I tell you something? I think we all feel that way sometimes. And if you feel that way, can I ask you the hard question? Is it possible that we've treated our becoming like Jesus the same way I treated becoming like a millionaire? Like, you know, we've just kind of hoped it would just kind of happen. And maybe we've read a book, or we've seen a video, or we've heard about somebody else's experience, and we've, you know, kind of tried it, we've dabbled in it, but we've never intentionally really said, this is where I want to get, and this is what it takes to get there, and then committed to that behavior or to that habit. Becoming like Jesus is a big deal. I mean, it is a supernatural, miraculous project. And the project that's under construction is you. It's you're like an art project. In fact, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece. I mean, that's an amazing image. The creator of everything, God of the universe, is at work on you right now, creating this amazing Christ-like character in you. Philippians 1:6 says, God started this incredible work in you, and God is continuing this amazing, impossible, miraculous work in you. And someday God's going to finish that work in you just in time when Jesus returns. It's a miracle that God is doing in you. But have you noticed, as you look through your Bible, that pretty much since creation, every miracle God has done, he chooses to do in partnership with mankind? Have you seen that? I mean, could God have killed Goliath without David and his rocks? Could God have parted the Red Sea without Moses and his stick? Could God have started the New Testament church without Peter and his preaching? Could God have written the New Testament without Paul? Yes, obviously. But he chooses to do miracles. He chooses to recreate his world. He chooses to recreate us in partnership with us. So intentional spiritual formation is us accepting God's invitation to partner with him in this project of making us more and more like Jesus. While God is working in us and while God is working on us, he calls us to work too. So look at this partnership of work that's going on. This is Philippians 2:12. Paul says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. It's important. Not work hard to attain salvation, right? Don't, you're not working hard for your salvation. He says, work hard to show like the benefit, the results of your salvation, obeying God with reverence and fear, because God's working in you. So work, because God's working in you, and he's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Again, really important that we understand this is not us working for our salvation or something like this. This is really us working from our salvation. This is us working out of our salvation, because becoming a Jesus follower means accepting his will, right? Accepting his ways, accepting his kingship, accepting his lordship. So that's what that leads us in, and being filled with his spirit. And that's what empowers us. So God is the source of it all. But it's a partnership. Look at 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Paul's writing this, or Peter's writing this, and he says, this is a letter from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of justice and fairness of Jesus. So he's writing to Christians, right? He's writing this letter to people that are already saved. This is not a way to get saved. He's writing to people that are already saved. And he says in verse 2, may God continue his work, man. May he just give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus. Look at verse 3. By his divine power, God's already given us everything we need to live a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, just by coming to, not by earning it, just by coming to know him, the one that called us to him. So look at verse 5. God's done all this incredible stuff. He's given us everything that we need. Look at verse 5. In view of all of this, we should make every effort to respond to God's promises by becoming like Christ, in our moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and patience and endurance and godliness and affection for one another and love for each other. Do you see the partnership that's going on there in this spiritual formation? God's at work, and he's given us everything we need. Grace, power, desire, peace, the teaching of Jesus, the model of Jesus. He's given us all of that, and then we got work to do too. We're supposed to be making every effort to do our part to become like Jesus. So your spiritual formation, you being like shaped and formed to be like Jesus so that you're full of love and joy and peace and kindness and oneness with God so you can carry on his work and bring his kingdom here. You being formed to be like Jesus, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. It's an amazing, beautiful, lifelong project that God does in us and that God does with us in partnership. So on our website, we have a page that lists the values of this church, like the core important values of being part of this church. And one of the essential values, these are the things that we all agree on. These are the things that we all prescribe to as members of this church. One of the essential values that unite us is this accepting God's invitation to partner with him in our spiritual formation. Do you see that this is a partnership? Do you see that this is a partnership? Yes. Okay. So I don't want you to think this is crazy or something. In this partnership between you and God, right? One partner is way more important than the other, right? And that we don't want to take away from that. So just imagine a tennis mixed doubles team of me and Serena Williams. I mean, we would be an awesome team. Yeah, and we would dominate, right? But a disproportionate part of that domination would be her. You see that? So, I mean, realistically, only Serena can do what Serena can do. I can't make her do it, but I'm going to be part of the team, you know? So I still would want to do all that I can do, and then I would kind of just trust Serena to take it from there. And in this project of us becoming more and more like Jesus, more and more full of love and peace and joy and patience and oneness with the Father. We can't make God do what only God can do. But we want to do all we can to participate. So if you're like frustrated that it's not going faster, you know, if you're disappointed, or if you're just kind of impatient with how slowly you're becoming like Jesus, can I make like a just a humble suggestion to you? There's an expression that says, like, here, whatever you're doing now to become more like Jesus, whatever you're doing now for this transformation to happen, your current system is perfectly designed to get you the results that you're currently getting. Your current, whatever you're doing, your current system is perfectly, obviously, perfectly designed to get you the results that you're currently getting. So if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And so for all of us that feel this frustration, well, I mean, I thought I'd be like Jesus by now. What's taken so long? How did I keep making these mistakes? Why do I keep sinning like this? Why don't I feel like this or act like this or think like this or talk like this? What's wrong with me? What's going so slow? Maybe it's time for us to take a more intentional part in the partnership of our own spiritual formation. And I think that starts with just realizing that formation is happening, right? We are all being formed. Estimates are that most an average adult American sees between 4,000 and 10,000 commercials every day. Every day, some 10,000 ads are flooding into your consciousness, coming into your ears and your eyes, and street signs, and scrolling across the bottom of the TV screen, and on your news feed, and in social media. Some of it's just right up in your face, and some of it's more subtle. But every one of those things is intended to form you, your opinions, and your values, and your spending. And it's not just advertising, man. We're all being formed by lots of stuff, man. By circumstances and relationships and the media and our environments and our phones. We're being formed whether we know it or not. Because nobody sets a goal to become more anxious, right? Or to be distracted or to be pessimistic or to be angry or hateful. Nobody sets a goal to be less Christ-like. But just the constant hurry of the world and the pressure of keeping up and the worry about letting down, plus all of those ads and all of those demands of life and work and family and like the notifications from our stupid phones, all that stuff is just very subtly, very quietly forming us into anxious, distracted, pessimistic, skeptical, angry people who just don't have much time for spiritual things. Because every day, all day, we are constantly being formed into something, into someone. And we don't usually even like recognize that it's happening because it's so subtle. It's just like very gradual. You don't even see that it's happening. One time, I mean, years ago, when our kids were little, Margaret and I went to the beach. And so we had this great idea. In case the kids wandered off, we had a red umbrella because, you know, the umbrellas are all blue and white or yellow or whatever. So we'll get a red one, and that way if a kid wanders off, they'll be able to find a camp, right? And so then, as is typical in our family, I do all the work in our relationship. I'm just telling you. So here's Margaret under the umbrella. And here's me with these kids, you know, wandering out into the surf, and the waves are pounding, and we're having fun, and it's a great day and all that stuff, but I'm doing all the work, man. I'm taking care of everything. I'm keeping these kids afloat, right? I'm protecting them from sharks and everything else, and we're having all this fun. And every once in a while, I'd look, okay, there's the red umbrella. Hey, honey. And she's like, oh, now you're done. And we're doing all this fun stuff, right? And I just keep looking up, and she's like, well, now we're playing, and we're messing around, and it's happening, you know? And then I look up, and the umbrella's gone. And I'm like, what the heck? Here I am risking my life, you know? And it's not enough that she just lays there, you know? She could at least stay, right? And like make us a bologna sandwich, you know, because we're coming in eventually. Do something. She's laying there watching the hunks go by or whatever she's doing over there. So I'm mad, right? So I got a kid, and I am walking in. And I left the floaty things out in the ocean, right? I am so steamed, and I am walking in, and I get up to the beach, and I am trudging down the beach towards a hotel, and after walking about a quarter mile, and there was that red umbrella. And there was Margaret making bologna sandwiches. She hadn't gone anywhere. What happened? We drifted, right? We didn't know it was happening. We didn't feel it happening. It was just so subtle. It was just so quiet. We didn't even notice that we had drifted. And the thing is, no one unintentionally drifts towards Christ-likeness, right? Just like becoming a millionaire doesn't just happen, right? We have to be intentional. But what if we chose what was forming us? You know, what if we picked the waves that were moving us? What if we intentionally chose to be formed by following Jesus? And we use this term a lot, following Jesus. We just throw that around. But what following Jesus really means is following Jesus. Right? Ding! Wow. Never heard that one before, Larry. Right? But if you think of the game, follow the leader, right? I mean, following Jesus means, you know, doing what he did. Like an apprenticeship. So think of an apprenticeship. You don't become a great whatever. You don't become a great plumber by reading about plumbing, right? You may learn some basics, but you don't become a great plumber by reading about plumbing. You don't become a great plumber by agreeing with a great plumber or quoting a great plumber or putting a picture of a great plumber on your shirt, right? If you want to become a great plumber, you find a great plumber and you follow him around. And you spend time with him as an apprentice. And you ride in the truck with him and you watch him and you copy his behaviors and, you know, you wear a hat like he wears and you eat lunch with him and you use the same tools as him and you arrange your life around being with the master. And eventually, over time, you start to walk like him and you start to talk like him and you start to wear your pants as low as he does. And you start to like hold your wrench like him, and eventually you start to plumb like him. So being a great plumber is really mostly about apprenticeship. It's finding a great plumber and just being with him until you become like him. So when Jesus called people, how many times do you see it in the Bible where Jesus says, "Follow me"? Right? That's what he meant. He meant, like, come with me and hang around with me and spend time with me and do what I do and live like I live and become my apprentice. And so if we want to be shaped, if we want to be formed and intentionally, if we want to be shaped and formed and transformed into the likeness of Jesus, we have to intentionally shape our lives around being with him and becoming like him. So there's a great book that describes this really well. I've recommended it before. It's called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. I just can't tell you how highly I recommend this book. It's all about following Jesus and just like being his apprentice, just doing his behaviors, you know, just doing what he did, following his practices. And that's a huge part of how we intentionally participate in this miracle of becoming like Jesus. You don't have the power to snap your fingers and love like Jesus loved. You don't have that. I don't have that. You don't have the ability to just say, I want it, bam, it happens. Or just kind of sit by and see what happens and wake up one day and you're just like Jesus. You don't have that power. Only God has that power. But a huge part of us intentionally participating in this miracle of becoming like Jesus is just following, just doing what he did. Just being where he is and just... This book identifies 9 behaviors, 9 practices of Jesus, and how we could follow these same practices in our world. So they're practices like, it's not flying, right? It's not raising the dead. It's just like prayer. or spending time in Scripture, or community, or serving other people, or generosity, or solitude. A while back, a lot of us started practicing Sabbath. These practices are not to save us, right? They're not to make us right with God. Remember what we read in Scripture, what Peter said. This is for people that are already saved, right? These are people that are already in a relationship with God, and he's changing them, and he's calling them to partner with him in this transformation. So obviously, just like Serena, right? God's doing most of the heavy lifting in this partnership because only he can. I mean, only God can transform a caterpillar into a butterfly, right? Only God can transform us into people of love and joy and peace and patience. Only God can transform us into people who really are one with him like Jesus. Only God can supernaturally do this work in us. And it seems like Jesus has chosen to model these practices for us to slow us down and to kind of create time, you know, create space for God to do that work. And as we do what we can do by just doing these behaviors, by following these practices, as we do what we can do, God does what we can't do. He molds us and he shapes us and he forms us into the likeness of Jesus. So these spiritual practices are not how we earn God's love. They're how we make room for God's power to work in us. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about, and I hope experiencing, one of the practices of Jesus. And the practice that we're going to follow is fasting. Fasting. So I've been asking people just in the lobby and on my email and just in here, raise your hands. I've been asking, like, have you ever tried fasting or whatever? And it's really interesting to me. A lot of people have raised, a lot of people have at least tried about it or like dabbled in it or read about it or something like that. And so we're just gonna get a little more intentional about following this practice of Jesus. And different people have different ideas about fasting, and that's fine. For our purposes, for this next couple of weeks, we're talking about a biblical fast. And that means, brace yourself, abstaining from food for a time to offer ourselves to Jesus and to grow in holiness and to amplify our prayers and to stand with the poor and to create space for God to do his work in us. So for our purposes right now, we're not talking about a diet. We're not talking about a food restriction. A lot of people have heard of like the Daniel fast. Have you heard of the Daniel fast? That's great. It's mostly eating like nuts and vegetables and stuff. And that's good. But we're not talking about, those are more like a food restriction. And we're not talking about a diet or a food restriction. We're talking about skipping meals, not adjusting meals. Yeah? So we're also not talking about giving up something other than food. So a lot of people, especially at Lent, a lot of people will give something up, right? Which is great. Some people do a fast from their phones or from social media or from sodas or from video games or whatever. And those restrictions are great. And if you're doing one of those, if that makes you closer to Jesus, man, you should do that. But for our purposes in this initiative, when we say fasting, we're talking about for a time abstaining from eating. And again, please, please hear this. Fasting is not a law. It's not a commandment. It's not a way to get saved. It's for people who are Jesus followers to just follow him more closely. This is not a way to make God like you more. I can tell you right now, if you don't fast, God's not going to like you less. And if you do fast, he's not going to like you more. That's not how it works. It's not to like dazzle God or something like that. It's also not to dazzle other people, right? So we're not doing this to show off or to seem to be like super spiritual. In fact, when Jesus talked about fasting, and he did in Matthew 6:16, he said, when you fast, notice he didn't say if you fast, go like this. I'll do it again. Be ready this time, okay? Okay, here it comes. Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. Yeah. He said, don't try to look so pitiful, right? Because that's what everybody was doing, right? They would fast, you know, and then they would come to church and say, oh, Jesus is having to help me get through. I haven't eaten for like 7 minutes, and man, I'm going down. I need the power of God, right? And then people would say, oh, they're so spiritual or whatever. And Jesus said, you know what? Those people already have their reward. Because their reward wasn't becoming more like Jesus. Their reward was having people say, look how holy they are, right? So that's not the purpose of this thing. We're not trying to show off for God. We're not trying to show off for people. So if you're in a group, there's a pretty good chance that over the next 4 weeks, your group is going to be talking about this and experiencing it together. You can do it alone. You could do it with just your spouse. You could do it with just your family or with just a couple of friends. It's best to experience this in community. When we try something different, it's really great to bounce ideas. How to hit you, how to work for me, what was hard, what was easy. It's really good to do it in community. If you're not in a group, we may can help you with that. A lot of the groups are already formed. But stop at the Connection Center and just tell them, hey, I need to find a group that's doing this. I can tell you that our Wednesday night women's group is going to be going through it together. That's a whole bunch. And then we have a Wednesday night men's group that's going to be doing it. So both of those meet Wednesday nights at 6:30. So maybe one of those will work for you. But I just want to say this. Don't like worry about this and don't overthink this. I'm telling you, I promise you, it's less weird than you might think. And on some level, in some way, you can do this. So just a couple of notes. Not everybody's going to fast the same way, right? Some of you might fast for a week. Some of you might fast for a day. Some of you might fast for a meal. Right, so some are going to do it longer and some are going to do it shorter, and that's okay. Also, I know some of you have like health issues or you're taking medication and eating food regularly is part of that. Of course, you should use wisdom and, you know, adjust as necessary. Like I said, we're not all doing it exactly the same way, but that doesn't mean we reject the practice. And then this last thing, if you struggle with like an eating disorder or some other issue with food, then you need to be super careful and mindful and prayerful and wise and get somebody alongside with you in this thing. If you need help or if you have questions about any of those issues, then contact Pastor Mike or contact me and we'll try to kind of work that through with you. But we're not going to get like overly legalistic. You know, we're not going to be like super specific about how to do it. Because our goal is not to say that we fasted right, right? Our goal is not to say that we fasted well, right? Our goal is not even to say that we fasted. Our goal is being with Jesus and becoming more like Jesus. Our goal is just partnering with God in our spiritual formation by creating space for God to do in us what we can't do for ourselves, and that is to make us more like Jesus. So to try to understand this partnership, one of my favorite images, you've probably heard me talk about this before, one of my favorite like pictures of this partnership that we have with God has to do with his ruach. So ruach is a Hebrew word, and it means a lot of things. It means the wind, or the life breath, or the spirit of God, his ruach, right? So in this journey, in this project of becoming more like Jesus, of transforming you into the likeness of Jesus, you're not like a motorboat where you're providing the power and you're doing the steering. And you're not like a raft where you're just aimlessly, helplessly floating around wherever the tide takes you. You're more like a sailboat. And as you raise the sails of these practices, like prayer and Bible study and community and serving and Sabbath and fasting, as you raise those sails, God fills those sails with his ruach. And he directs, and he empowers, and he moves you towards your destination, which is the likeness of Jesus, loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind and gentle and self-controlled and one with God. So pray about it this week. And if you have questions, or if you need to find a group, you can go back to the Connection Center right now and talk to them, or talk to me today. I'll be wandering around out there. You can call me or text me or email me. And then we're going to really, really dive into this thing next week. But I would just kind of leave you with this. Maybe it's time to take a more intentional step towards your own spiritual formation with fasting. So let me leave you with a blessing today. May God give you the desire and the power to create space for him to do what only he can, to transform you into the likeness of Jesus. And as you raise the sails of these practices, prayer and time in his word and serving, community and Sabbath and fasting, may he fill those sails with his ruach to guide you and empower you and make you more like Jesus. Amen.